Morning, everybody. Yeah, as you can tell, there's friends out here. That'll be great. Well, if you haven't figured out what my theme is, you really should have, and you will soon. But before that, we're opening in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this opportunity. And I ask that you just guide me, fill me with your words of wisdom, and that this would be impactful for people today. That it would just penetrate our thoughts and our minds and be an amazing reminder today, Lord. In your name, amen. Good? Yeah? Okay. Friends, we all have one or want one, and we all hope that we are being what or would be a good friend in those relationships. But how do we know if we are a good friend? What does it mean to be a good friend? Not just an okay friend, but a good friend the way God intended. Well, maybe we can start with our understanding of the word good. The world kind of relates it to words like okay or better than, average, or good versus evil. But I think we know that it should mean more than that. Now, God first used the word good when he was creating this world in 6 days. And after each day's work, he ended it with seeing and saying that it is good. So one of the most monumental moments or events ever, and the word God uses to describe its level of perfection, is good. And of course, in the end of all things, when we meet Jesus face to face, we desire for him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So knowing the scope of what the word good compares to, how do we know if we are being a good friend? Where can we find an explanation of what that looks like? And we look, obviously, to the Bible for God's words and examples. Here's some of what I found. If we go to Genesis 2, 8 to 18, Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four waterheads. The name of the first is the Fishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of the land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you do, you will eat from it, you will surely die." Certainly die. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." God created man with his own hands and with the intention of walking with us in the Garden of Eden. What an awesome beginning God not only created the world for us to exist with freedom to choose, but also to exist with Him, directly connecting with Him, face to face. A true example of good friendship. Now, God being the truly amazing example of good friendship that He is, and recognizing man's needs, said it's not good that we should be alone. So God provided a helper, a perfect good friend relationship for us. Another ultimate example of a good gift of friendship and care. Let's go to our next example. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. Sorry, I cheated. I have little stickies in my Bible, so I just go straight there. I'll give you guys more time. Okay, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Here it is explained how two people working together are better than one, as they can be warmer, quicker, stronger, more reliable. They will share a mutual trust and support each other. They will walk through life together, fighting together, not against each other. Kind of like if one of you operates the saw and the other one wipes the crud from his face so he can see what he is doing while you lie down working on a big black pipe underneath your house. For an example. Next one's 1 Samuel 18. Yeah, 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And he loved him as himself. For that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David, because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword and his bow and his belt. Here we see a glimpse of an example of pure, genuine, and loving friendship. A friend willing to love the other as he loves himself. To give up everything for the other. Willing to cry together when terrible things happen, like great loss or hurt from someone else, and protect each other from harmful things, like movies or attitudes. Also by warning your friend of an impending pitfall coming his way. And that's why friends don't let friends buy Fords. Sorry, Paul. hold on. I'm jumping ahead. Okay, so our next one. Psalms 133, 1 to 3. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, running down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Our attitude of friendship should be aiming to dwell in unity and harmony, working with and holding the other as more important than ourselves. I first experienced this when I was a junior counselor at Dave Thompson Bible Camp. One of the counselors there lived out making others more important than himself. For me, it was very eye-opening to see that kind of genuine selflessness. Our next verse is Proverbs 27:17. Hopefully most of you know this one already, but let's read it again. 27:17. Does anybody know it off by heart? Probably most of the campgoers, I would guess. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Sharpen each other. And this, of course, is obvious. It must mean that you get to drag your friend down a gravel road until he is not so dull. Or maybe not. This verse is very small, yet very large at the same time. It helps introduce us to concepts like mentorship, accountability, and discipleship. Seeking mentorship from someone opens us to another level of humility as you start to listen with open ears. Learning and understanding more in every interaction as you are trying to do life well together, which develops success in friendship. The next one is discipleship. Discipleship is intentionally exploring and living out the truth of Jesus and growing in God's words together. Eagerly exploring God's word. Being excited to share how God is working in your lives by studying the Bible, praying, and obeying God while investing in others to help them do the same. Accountability is one of the most important concepts in a good friendship. Holding each other to a high moral and ethical standard, and when done well, these ideas grow into habits, good habits, lasting habits, habits that spread. Accountability is crucial for all systems of family, church, work, or government environments. And it starts with a trustworthy friend holding you to what is right and us gladly accepting that rebuke. Analyzing its validity, acting upon the truth of what was said as soon as possible. Real love, or real loving accountability in action is beautiful and highly effective. And I would rather have someone correct me in love than need to have God correct me, as that can be much more difficult and painful. Romans 12:10 is our next one. Hopefully you guys are as nervous as I am Because that would sure help. No? No? Okay. Well, one of us is going to get through this, so. Okay, Romans 12, 10 to 18. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with the people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It is essential that friendship is completely genuine to your core. We will need to seek to love love, so to say. Honor the other as greater than yourself, being kind and giving others the benefit of the doubt. This will come at a cost sometimes. But the level of trust you show can open a door to your friends stepping up their game, and the selflessness will rub off on them. Our next one is Galatians 6, verse 2. All right, Galatians 6, 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We need to bear each other's burdens, whether in sickness or poverty, struggles with flooding or famine or strife, at work or persecution for Christ. Obviously, we need to be careful that we don't glorify the sin or the situation. Listening starts the process of sharing in one another's burdens. We need to listen in an effective manner. We need to listen in an effective way that hears what someone is saying, leading to the love they need, not what we think they need to hear. We love to share our opinions and point out how someone is doing it wrong and thinking to ourselves how we would not have done it that way and how we would have avoided that situation because we are so much smarter than that, right? Sharing burdens means changing your plans to help someone through theirs and sharing your burdens in a timely manner so that others can have the opportunity to help you. I learned this lesson a lot while building our house. It still boggles my mind to think of how many people shared that burden with me. Rain or shine, mud or flood, fear of heights or not, they came with an attitude of love, joy, and caring friendship. I know I won't forget it, so we need to be ready to make these moments happen with others. Now we jump to Thessalonians 5:11, the first one. I think it's in here anyways. Yes. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Interesting little verse. Encourage and comfort each other. It says comfort in some of the other versions. We need to remember that people need time to process their grief, whether it's the loss of a pet or a friend or a job or finding out they have cancer or some other health issue. Often all we need to do to comfort a friend through hard times is to be there and listen. Sometimes nothing is shared except for tears. These moments will open opportunities for meaningful and impactful encouragement. True friendship takes time. If we go to Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We want friendship and Christ's example of love and relationship to grow and flourish. We want to think of others in love and act upon it, right? So why is it that we don't stay for the potlucks after church or go to the Bible studies at church? Or why would we watch church from home? Or we tell ourselves, no one wants to come to my house and visit, even though I haven't asked anyone. We need to keep trying. Keep thinking of ways to show love and motivate others and yourself to want to seek possible friendships with anyone you meet. We can't stop searching for the opportunities to help others, whether it is moving snow for someone for the 17th time in the same week, pulling someone out of the ditch at 1:30 in the morning in 100-kilometer-an-hour winds and 4-foot snowdrifts, or lending something that you know you'll never get back, or cleaning someone's house when they are sick, helping build a project with them, or meeting with them at a random hour when they need someone to talk to and pray with, or assisting someone in picking out a gift or an item at the store, or. I think you get the point. The moments are there, and there's lots of them. If you are looking, you will find them. Biblical friendship is a lifelong lifestyle that has a massive impact. Our next one is 1 Peter 4, 8 to 10. Okay, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God has given every one of us, every single one of us, gifts and abilities that if we are using them in our family or church or school or work, we will find friendship. So we need to show genuine love for each other with great joy in our hearts. God loves the cheerful giver, and that applies to our actions. We need to open our homes to others as if it was their home. We should use the gifts God has given us on others every day. Not only will this help people that are in need of food at the end of their paycheck, or give someone walking to work a ride to work, it reaches these people where they are at and greatly opens the door to a long-term connection that they won't forget. These moments are all around us. People that are looking for friendship are all around us. We need to take hold of these opportunities and make the best of them together. God shows us the lengths he will go to have genuine relationship with us. And the least we can do is pass that wonderful blessing on to those who will accept it. Friendship is one of the greatest gateways to sharing Jesus with those around us. We will need this reminder and encouragement. We all need this reminder and encouragement that Jesus is real, genuine, and amazing friend, available to us all, available to all of us, if we accept the beautiful gift he has given us by covering all our sins. Now I'll leave you with this one, John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down your life for one's friend. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. What a good example and good friend we have in Jesus. I hope this encourages you guys today and gives you a good reminder. It was great for me to go through it, and I truly enjoyed it as well. Just end in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you set up a situation of friendship, a design of friendship, Lord. I know we barely understand it in its complete depth, and we fall short of it in so many ways all the time, Lord. But when we have it and we grasp it and we feel it, we know that it's of you and we know that it's good. We just thank you so much for that friendship, Lord. We thank you that we can have that friendship with Jesus and that he was able to send or come down and sacrifice that ultimate gift, Lord. We love you so much for all that you do, and I thank you that you helped me through this today. In your name, amen.